Hi, it's Charlotte Broughton. You're listening to the Quick Link podcast.
Good afternoon and welcome to Thursday's show on Quick Link podcast. It's episode 490 for the 5th of May, 2022. Happy birthday today to 2020 Giro runner-up and stage winner Jai Hindley, to Mathias Norsgaard of Movistar and Romy Kasper of Jumbo-Visma, to 2011 Tour of Flanders winner Nick Noyens, and to recent guest and friend of the show, Charlotte Broughton. It's the eve of the Giro, and there was three pro races taking place today, Dunkirk, the Bretagne Ladies Tour, and Ruta del Sol Feminas, as well as the start of the Junior Peace Race in the Czech Republic. But as there is a big announcement to come from our guests today, and we are about to record our Giro preview tonight, we'll come to all of that tomorrow and bring you up to speed. So in our feature interview, our Peter sat down with Thomas from firstcycling.com about this site's surprising early days, how the team have grown it to become what is certainly our favourite stats and results site of choice, and what the next step is. With the Giro tomorrow, they have a very big announcement, so consider this a teaser trailer. I'll be back tomorrow with some of the gang to talk the opening stage of the 105th Giro d'Italia, the first Grand Tour of the year in 2022. Here's handing over to Peter and Thomas. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Quick Link Podcast. Today we are joined by one of the people behind First Cycling. It's Thomas. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fine. Thanks for letting me come.
Yeah, no worries. I guess really, like, the first question that some people will have is, what actually is First Cycling and how did it all begin?
Well, how did it all begin? It began as long back as 2009. Where we were creating, me and a friend, Christian, we're creating a fantasy game for Tour de France, and we couldn't get any of our friends to join. So we figured we'd set up a website where we started to, where we collected the main results for all the riders riding the race, the Tour de France. And I was a computer student at the time, so we set up a website. And a little later, some people came in wanting to add more information, and basically just escalated from there. So we set up this simple website, and just more and more people came in contributing, and it just exploded. Wow. So we were just collecting information from all over.
Mm. God, that's quite like, so it started from just wanting to help friends, really.
Yeah, in Norwegian, we were called Protos back then, in a Norwegian domain. And yeah, it was basically Norwegian up until 2014 or 15, I think. Then we went English, and people came in from all around the world wanting to contribute. So today we say we're by the fans, for the fans, and that's exactly what we are. We're a community with people from Great Britain, from Finland, from Spain, from Japan, and people contribute on different levels. And we're this social group of people that are becoming friends at the same time.
Yeah, that's quite crazy, really. What prompted you to go from Norwegian to English? Like, what made you go, okay, now's the time that we go English?
We always were supposed to go English. We had a hard time finding a name, and I think it was during me and Christian during the World Championship in Copenhagen. We were having some drinks, and we were coming up with, should we call it Cycling First, maybe? And then we joked around, if your girlfriend called, you can say like, no, not right now, it's Cycling First. And then the next day, it turned into First Cycling.
Oh, wow. So,
and then we registered the domain, and then some years later, we were on a whole summer in Spain, and we just switched it around, and we came back, and it was published in English and not in Norwegian.
Wow. Yeah, because I was about to say, like, Copenhagen was 2011 because Cav won. I remember that result.
Yeah.
So, to have, like, 3 years or 4 years between having the idea to go, let's call it First Cycling, to then...
Yeah, we registered the domain. We bought it to, like, secure it, so we had it. then we just didn't, it was a hobby project. So we didn't, we just spent time when we had time. We didn't like, we didn't plan for any of this to happen. It just happened.
Wow.
So we're like, it's built on passion. So it just, we feel lucky to be able to actually work with it and not have it as a hobby project.
Yeah, and how has that changed for you then from going as a sort of passion project where you're doing it out of love and now you're doing it as a job? Like, does that change how you view it, or?
It's a faster, we're getting faster from what we're planning to do to actually doing it. But it's very much the same because it's still the passion. I just got to work with my hobby. So at home, I'm having this problem. I'm at work for 6, 7, 8 hours, and then I come home, and it's the finish of some race. And after dinner, I tell Henriette that I have to put on some cycling on the TV just to watch the finish. And she says, "Oh, you have to work now again." And I'm trying to say, "No, it's not work. No, it's my free time watching cycling. This is I'm having a hard time separating the two things. But we're having so much fun though because we get to work with our passion, so it's a dream job.
Yeah, and you mentioned the sort of community element. How big is the community that support you now?
There's like, the community is big, but we have some contributors contributing a lot that I have daily communications with, and we have some contributing when they can. And yeah, we have for example, a guy in Japan feeding the database with the track results from Japan. We have a senior citizen from Spain feeding the data with Iberian national events on the U23 level, and it can, the list goes on. So just, yeah,
because I've noticed that when I've been on it myself, going, oh, there's no like racing today, or even on a Sunday when it's like Paris-Roubaix, but there's actually like races going on in the Philippines, or like there's one in Pakistan once. I was like, how are you able to cover such a wide distance? Because some of these, like, even like people in the country probably don't know about them. So how does that happen?
Well, that's actually a very good question. it's basically happening. We have some guys, this is their passion. They're enjoy. We have a lot of people who has this as their hobby, and instead of doing other stuff, they're sitting here with friends entering results. Yesterday, for example, there were World Tour races, but I see on our computer here now that we had 31 junior events yesterday.
Wow.
That was just junior. That's separated now on the web page from the UCI events and the amateur races. So
that's mind blowing. That, because like sometimes I struggle just to keep up with one race, like,
yeah.
Or if GCN have got two races going on at the same time, I'm like, oh my god, what do I want? But 31 junior races, like, I don't have a hope of covering them as well. That's just insane, really. Like,
it's mind blowing because I knew we had a lot. But when we did a split based on user feedback a week or two ago, splitting up the calendar on our front page was just going on and on. So it's just starting to get hard to separate the stuff. So we split it up, and now I'm seeing that the amount of junior races entered are actually, it's more than I knew, to be frank.
Gosh, like, yeah, I can't imagine. So I assume that you get the results mainly by just watching the race. Is that how it happens, or do you have it sort of, obviously I don't want any industry secrets, but
no.
How do you, like, yeah, how does
it's
it
a lot
work
of,
really?
It's a lot of different, we have built up this network of how to collect the data over some years now, and also we are getting sent a lot of data, and we have basically, when we are on lower levels, like a junior and amateur, there's race PDFs, there's different kind of a format for the data. So we basically enter those we get a hold of. we send a lot of my emails to the race organizers and so, and people, and actually on that this level also a lot of people send in the results because this is missing on my profile. Why haven't you added this race and so on?
Oh, so is that like riders going, hey, wait a minute, I got a top three here, but you've not mentioned it at all.
In a junior race, it could be the dad.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or the coaches, or the coaches of teams and so on, or the race organizers.
Oh, God. So, like, yeah, so have our race organizers quite happy to work with you then? Is that what you found, or...? Have you found it difficult?
I think that if you're talking junior and amateur races, they are of course happy that we spend so much time on it. Mm. If we're talking top level UCE, it's basically public on all the producer sites or on the time tracker sites.
Oh, of course, yeah. So I assume that's how you do it. You're not just sat there watching TV and hoping that you can sort of recognize who the rider is.
But actually, I have a funny story from some weeks ago where we had this English admin, and he was watching a women race, and he was the race results didn't come out afterwards. So he was putting the live feed on pause, and he was watching the riders as they come across the finish line. And he saw a team won the race, but he didn't catch the number. Mm. So he went back before the race started, and then he saw that this particular woman had different socks on than the rest of the team. So he was figuring, oh, that has to be the winner. So he just entered the winner into a database, and an hour or so later, it got confirmed.
Wow!
So he was just going frame by frame, getting the top 10.
That's dedication.
That's dedication on a high level.
Yeah, I guess. How does it feel to work with such a dedicated community?
I love it. It's one big happy family, if I can use that word.
Yeah, of course. Like, that's amazing. And obviously, like, just one thing that we've heard, like. The main guy who runs Quicklink pays for the app, and he's like, it's the best 99 pence he's ever spent. And like, often, like, the results will be in before the race is even over half the time. You know, it's just rapid. Like, how do you manage to get it so quickly? Is it just dedication, or?
It's the dedication, but the problem is that when you watch something on a stream, you're behind. When we sit with a direct line or using the timekeepers themselves, they're often before. If you watch a football game and you have an application, you get to know the scoring on the phone before it actually happens on the screen. It's basically a little the same with cycling, but this actually we had mixed feedbacks on this because. So many times we spoiled the winners for people, and the concept was we wanted to be like the first cycling, be first, so we like be the first to know. That was like the slogan when we launched the mobile application. But this year we have made a different approach, and we're waiting a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Before we push the restaurant, so to not spoil it. It was either that or not post the name of the winner in the push warning. But often you don't just want the winner and see the race is done. You don't basically have to open it to get the information you want.
Yeah, that must be quite a challenge. And we've started talking about the app. Like, what's the sort of key differences between the sort of the app version and the free site, basically?
I would say the It's of course built on the same database. The application is not getting the mobile application is not being what should I say? It's not being worked. It's a different code, so it's not automatically updated on a mobile application when we do the website updates. But the main big difference with the application is the push notification that you get a push when it's done, and you just click it and you get a results, and it's a quick. It's a quick checker. I'm used to using a computer myself, but I love the when I'm not at a computer or watching races myself. I love the fact that I can get a push warning from the rest, so I can go in and check it.
Yeah, that must be quite nice, actually, just being like staying in the know when you're not even near a TV or a computer. You can just be like, oh yeah, cool, that person's won.
Yeah, for some years I had a warning on the notification when First Cycling posted a tweet.
Mm.
And then we got like, they tweeted the race is over. We go into the post and then we hit the link. But it's smoother on that.
Yeah, that makes sense. What challenges have you guys faced? I know you said there was a bit of user feedback and people were upset about having races spoiled for them.
I didn't say upset. I said feelings. Like it's mixed feelings. Like in some people like that it's as fast as possible, and others say it's like, okay, I would have wanted a timer, or I'm actually watching this race. I don't need the push when there's 2 kilometers to go.
Yeah. I got you. So yeah, have you faced any other sort of challenges or? Different directions that you didn't think of when you first started?
I don't know. Basically, we do what we set out to do, and since we're making the system ourselves, the road from ID to actually doing something is very small. It's basically we can chat on a Friday. This is a good idea, and then we just. We publish it on a Saturday. So
quick.
Because we make it ourselves. I think it's working like it always has been working. It's just that now we're dedicated into spending a lot of more time on it.
Mm. Yeah.
Instead of it being something you do after work, you do it. It's your job. So.
Yeah, that's just mad. Like. I still can't get my head around it, really, like how incredible and detailed it is. Obviously we mentioned a bit about how some of it works. I've noticed you've been at races, and do you ever watch a race literally in person and go, oh, I hope the website's going, do you ever worry about it, or do you just watch it and sort of switch off?
You're thinking about when I was at London, and so lucky to be at Quadamont in London. Basically, I think it's going. You don't have to have meter to get it working. Mm. I think it's been going steady since we went English in 2015. Basically, we have a little. Of course, we plan it. Not like we go into a weekend without knowing what's happening. So we know this guy and this guy is on the World Tour races or the UC races. So we know that the rest of us are going to get in. And if people are going away, they tend to give us a. They're so dedicated that they say, "I'm going away in 2 weekends, so I'm not going to be able to help."
Okay. That must be really nice then. That you've got such a good partnership with everyone you kind of collaborate with.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't call it collaborate. I would call it that we're in it together somehow. I'm just the guy in charge of that group somehow. But they're mainly the super admins, basically control much of that themselves.
Oh, got you.
We have good routines.
Yeah. I mean, that's evident from how successful you're being. What was it like to go to the Tour of Flanders? Because it's an experience I've not had myself, but
I've been wanting to do that for some years. Flanders or Roubaix. You know, we got to do it the first year. A Norwegian team was actually at the starting line. Mm. Team Unox was there while we were there. So that was as a Norwegian, that was a happening. It was a it's one of those sporting things I would I've had on my list that I want to be at.
Yeah,
and I've been at Tour de France riding a camping truck around for 7-8 days. I've been to a couple of world championships, but Flandern, that's a high one for me. I really like those kind of races.
Yeah, I think I saw on your Twitter that you managed to meet a quite a famous Tour of Flanders winner in Tom Bonen. Like, yeah, well, what's he like as a person?
Was he like? It was, we were at the after party, and suddenly he was standing next to us. So of course there was, as being a big fan of Bonen since I was starting following cycling proper, that was huge. Because it's when you're not aware it's gonna happen, and suddenly he's standing next to you. So it's hard not to get starstruck. Even at my age, you're getting starstruck. So.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, that must have been crazy. Like, yeah, if I met one of my idols, I'd be like, now what do I do? And it's for that reason I'm sorry.
Sorry, myself. They said not to meet. You shouldn't meet your idols. But with Boone, we had a couple of minutes before he was just overrun by everyone there. Everyone was coming for a photo or a hug or something.
Wow, so even then you were first, were you? You got there ahead of
No,
everyone
no,
else.
not first. We went first. It just happened. We were just like standing there, and suddenly he was next to us, and we're just like, oh, what's happening? This is huge.
Yeah.
was that was a cool finishing of a very very good nice day.
Yeah, so like you mentioned that you're keen on watching UNOX. Do you have any like is it because for me I'm for some reason I've always been a fan of individual riders and never really of teams. But I guess with the Norwegian representation, like for you, for UNOX, is that the case, or are there individual riders that you're like, oh, I'll support them no matter what team they're in?
No, it's a bit. I was like you. I was supporting the riders and not the teams. But with the team UNOX coming from Norway, I guess it's more like a team. It's like more like a us feeling, like they're representing Norway. They with their profile also having only Scandinavian riders with Norwegian and Danish riders. It's like even my mom who doesn't watch cycling, she. Almost called the national team.
Oh, yeah, that makes
Yeah, she's used to a cross country, right? The skiing and there it's always the national teams. So she's used to the national team feeling of something. So she's supporting Norway, not the individual riders.
Ah, got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I know you said Bonen was a big inspiration for you, I guess, when or certainly a hero of yours. And I guess one of his big rivals in Cobbled Classics was Tor Hushovd. Is
Yeah.
especially being a compatriot of yours, was he someone you enjoyed watching, or was it just he's another rider because he's not Bonen?
No, we of course enjoyed watching him. We didn't have that many Norwegian cyclists back then. It was Tor Hushovd and Kurt Asle Alvesen. So of course they
Oh,
were,
God.
of course you're cheering for those. But nowadays there is a lot of Norwegian professionals, but back then we weren't so spoiled. We had a couple.
Are you saying there's too many Norwegians now
No, it's not, never too many Norwegian. It's like you watch nobody's complaining if Belgium has seven riders in the top 10 in Flanders. Of course, imagine if you imagine three, four from Norway in the top 10.
God, yeah. That would be wild. Like, certainly when I watched cyclocross in the winter, there was one race where there was three British people in the top 10, or certainly like two in the top 10 and one just behind. I was like, this isn't meant to happen. Like, we're not good at this sport. But yeah, gosh, I think I've got through most of our questions actually. That's been amazing. But like, what can I guess looking forward, what can people look ahead to with first cycling? Are there any exciting ways you want to take it? Yeah, going forward.
We of course have some plans going forward, and like every year we have a new functionality coming up. So I guess you would just have to wait and see. We got something coming up very soon, I think.
Ooh, that is intriguing. I look forward to it. Final question then is, how can people like find First Cycling, whether that's app or on socials? Like, how do people find this incredible results database that it is?
Of course, go to the website firstcycling.com or hit us up at social media at firstcycling at Twitter. It's written straightforward, so every visitor is welcome.
Yes, that's lovely. Thank you so much.
Nice meeting you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
You've been listening to Quicklink Podcast, your daily microdose of pro cycling news and results. You can find us across social media at Quicklink Pod, or you can contact us by emailing show@quicklinksports.com. Share the show, and we'll be back with you tomorrow. Bye now.